where we're going to be.
Fortifying the family is today's message, and there should be an insert in your bulletin in there so you can follow along if you want and wish to as well. Fill in some blanks there. Happy Father's Day. And so what is Father's Day? One boy said it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. There's something special about his dad and his children when they're in church together. I heard about a little fellow. He was sitting in the church with his dad, and the offering plate was approaching, and leaned over to his dad and said, "Dad, don't pay for me. I'm under five." There you go. Then I heard about the little girl who at the end of the service, she walked out and said to the pastor, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." And the pastor said, "Well, thank you, dear, but why?" She said, "Because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we ever had." Out of mouths, babe. That might not be the parental wisdom that Moses had in mind when he told parents that their job to teach their children, that it was their job to teach their children the ways of the Lord. Scripture encourages and demands that parents teach and train their children spiritually. In our text, we find that the nation of Israel is about to enter into the promised land. And by the tens of thousands, families had gathered around to hear Moses give final instructions before heading into the Canaan land. There would be many foes to fight and fears to face in this new land. God wanted his people to get strong, to be strong, and to stay strong. So what did God have to tell them to face such an encounter in their lives? And basically, life is not going to be the same anymore as they head into the promised land. And so what is God going to tell them? What kind of counsel is God going to provide through Moses? What strategy for survival does God give this nation? Does he tell them to strengthen the military? No. Does he advise them to be shrewd in their business dealings and to save their money and work 80 hours a week? And you got to work hard, you know, at making a living and get all the money you can so you can buy all the toys and leave those to your children. That's not what he advises. He does not tell them those things. He doesn't tell them to strengthen the military. He simply tells them, fortify the family. Fortify the family. Because there's an enemy out there that is going to want to attack, and so therefore you need to fortify the family if you're going to survive in this new land. How do they fortify? Take a look and see what we have here. See, I got to look. I don't have it back there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Now he's got three things listed here, and he says that now these are, things are the commandments, and that is the law of God. He said, this is my law, and the statutes are, this is how you practice these laws, and then the judgments, if you don't follow the law and practice what I'm telling you here, he said, expect the judgment to come. That's what's going to happen. So he says, I want you to teach these things when you get into this new land, if you're going to survive, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. He says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee thou. So he's looking at them now, as we go on to the second verse here in just a moment. But do you notice what he said? I know, right? And so I got to have room to move. I need elbow room. And he says here, he says he's looking at this crowd of people here, and he's looking directly at the fathers. He's looking at the dads. And he says here, and he says, which I command thee, thou, and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And so he says, dads, I'm talking to you in this crowd right here. It's your responsibility to teach these commands, statutes, and judgments. You teach your son, and then his then your son teaches his son, and then he teaches that one as well. This is the way that God has set it up. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. This is the only way in which they're going to conquer this new land that God has given them, is for them to adhere and to teach and to train the son and his son and his son, which teaches the family. That's the only way that you're going to become a mighty nation. That's the only way that you're going to survive in this land in which you're going. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, and the land floweth with milk and honey. You want to go in to possess the land flowing with milk and honey? Don't forget to teach my word. Don't forget. Why the emphasis on the family? Because whatever strengthens the family strengthens the nation. If fathers and mothers don't lead their children to godliness, graciousness, and goodness, it won't matter who rules the nation. It won't matter if it's Democrat or Republican in the White House. It won't make a difference if we're falling down on the job in our homes. It won't make no difference who's out there. It will crumble. Without strong families, nations are ruined. It's the family. The family, back in the Garden of Eden, first thing, was the family. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel came along. It's the family, first and foremost. Without strong families, nations are ruined. There are five keys given in this passage to fortify the family. Five things parents must do to ensure that their children and their children's children enjoy the blessings of God in a fortified family. Take a look. How can you fortify your family? Verse 4. First thing, invite your children to receive the Lord. Invite your children and your grandchildren to receive the Lord. Verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. To those listening to Moses, this was a very powerful verse. This particular verse right here, it is the John 3:16 of our day. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all know it. It's a very rich, powerful verse of Scripture. This too, for Israel, this was the John 3:16 of their day. This means that the Lord is totally unique. They're going into a land that's going to have all types of false gods, false idol, false worship over here. And he says, first and foremost, you've got to know me. From this one verse, we see four things that parents are to teach their children from the time in which they're born. First of all, that there is a God. That there is a God. You see, if there's no God, then we can just live any old way we want to, because we're our own God. We're our own ruler. I make decisions in my life. I'm not held accountable. I'm not responsible to anyone else. But there is a God. I have been created in the image of Almighty God. I did not crawl out of that primordial soup or whatever you call that stuff. And my, contrary to popular belief, my uncles didn't swing in trees and eat bananas. But there is a God, he says in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There is a God, and there's only one God. There's only one God. Notice what he says here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The word God there is Elohim, the three in one. The three in one. There we have the Trinity right there. The three in one. Our God is the only God that there is. And that one God is Lord. That one God is Lord. The word Lord there, it's in all capital letters, and the King James put it that way. That's Yahweh. He is the eternal, self-existing one. Do you understand that God does not need us? We need him in our lives. He is the eternal one. It never had any beginning. He'll never have any ending. He is the almighty one. The one God who is Lord is to be our Lord. He's to be ruler in my life. He is to be the king. He is to be the one that I live for. He is to be the one that rules in my life. Moms and dads, grandmothers, grandfathers, let this text, the words in this text, burn themselves into our hearts. The number one responsibility that we have is to see to it that our children and our grandchildren establish a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is real and it's lasting in their life. That is our responsibility. We cannot make them, but it's our responsibility to invite them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. James Dobson, I like James Dobson, years ago, got a little thing that he wrote. He says, the mission of introducing one's children to the Christian faith can be likened to a three-man relay race. You understand a three-man relay race? You know, and that's where the guy takes off. He's got a baton in his hand, and he takes off, and he runs around the track. And as he comes back around the track there, his son is standing right there, you see, the other runner and the son. And so he demands that the dad's got the baton, and he goes up to give it to the son, and the son is there. And he reaches, and he grabs the baton, and on he goes around. It's his turn. He's going around the lap, you see, and he gets all the way around, and there is his son then standing there. So he takes the baton and hands it off to his son, and he grabs it, and he runs. Runs and goes around. What happens when the baton is dropped or one of them falls around the track or one gets tired and sits down and doesn't finish the race? What happens to the next generations? What happens? What happens? Every parent wants their children to have more than they did growing up. Is that not true? I mean, that's just something that's innate in parents. We want them to have more than what we had growing up. May it be our priority that our children have more of Christ and the opportunity to serve Him more than we did. May that be our desire, that they have more in life. God help us if we fail to introduce our children and our grandchildren to the only one who can do far more than we ask or think for our children. The only one who can give them abundant life and eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to invite them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Fortify the home by inviting your children, your grandchildren, to receive the one true God. How can you fortify your family? Verse 5, inspire your children to respect the Lord. Look at verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You know, it's not enough just to teach your children the reality of God, that there is a God and you need to let Him rule in your life. That's not enough. Your child must also be taught the responsibility that they have toward God. Responsibility to God can be summed up in one word: love. Because if you love God, you're going to pay mind to what He wants done in your life. If you love God, you're not going to do those things that are going to hurt Him, to cause Him grief in your life. Jesus said this was the first and the greatest commandment of all, is to love the Lord thy God, is what Jesus said. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of love that the average Christian has for God. I'm talking about the kind of love that desires, that God desires, that God deserves, and that God demands from His people. That's the kind of love that we're to teach our children. Teach them to love the Lord fervently. And that is with all thine heart. Teach them to love the Lord with all thine heart. Nothing breaks the heart of God more than the sin of a half-hearted love. You remember what He told the church in Revelation? You know, remember He told them? He says, I wish that you were either hot or cold, He said, but you're neither one, you're half-hearted. And He said, you make me sick, I spew you out of my mouth, He said. It just makes me sick. Many Christians love God just enough to come to half of the church services. Christians, a half-hearted love does not make God happy. Husbands, a half-hearted love won't make your wife happy. A half-hearted love, parents won't teach your children how to love God. It is they are watching how you love God. Do you love God with your whole heart? Because that's what they see. That's how we teach them. Parents, it's your job to have a blazing, burning love for the Lord Jesus and then pass that on to your children. Now stop and think that if my love, my dad, you know, has a burning passion, desire for the Lord Jesus, he didn't always have that. He has that now, and so he passes that on to his children. And then I say, well, you know, I don't want to be as hot on fire as God, as my dad was, and so I'm a little less, you know, the flame's getting smaller, and so I pass it on to my son, and his, you know, he's like, well, you know, dad was a little overzealous. In today's society, we don't really need that. And so he becomes a little cooler and cooler. What happens to society? What happens to the family if the fire gets smaller and smaller in life? Let me remind you, it was God that loved us so much. He gave his all when he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. That's how much he loved us. And so we're to love fervently, but we're also to love faithfully as well. He says, with all thy soul. The soul is the center of the mind, the will, and the emotions. In other words, we are to love God with the very core of our being, to the very depths of our minds, to the very center of our feelings. Our love for God ought to dominate our thinking, our feelings, and our doing. Every part of us. Every part and parcel of us, with all of our heart, with all of our soul. And he says as well, the last part there in verse 5, with all of thy might. In other words, we ought to love God with all that we are, physically and emotionally as well. And that love ought to be obvious to our children and to others, that we love God. Not just that we tell them, but that we show them. And we are the example for them and how to love God with everything that we are. I heard about the preacher that was talking to a group of kids one time, and he asked them, he says, well, why do you love God? He got a variety of answers, but one little boy said, I don't know why I love God, preacher. I guess it just runs in the family. See? It runs in the family. That's what we're supposed to do, is it not, preacher? I don't understand. Why are you asking? Why are we love God? That's what we do. It comes natural to us. Well, I love God so much that it shows and our children can see it. Love for God is not so much taught as it is caught by the way in which you teach. So if we're going to fortify the family, you've got to inspire your children to respect the Lord. To respect the Lord enough to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Inspire your children to respect the Lord. Inspire by example to love the Lord. How can you fortify your family? Influence your children to revere the Lord. To revere the Lord. Notice what he says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 2. He says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes. And then he goes on down into verse 12. Notice what he says again. If I get my fingers going here, my pages are stuck together. I know you can see it up there. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of Egypt. I got the wrong verse there, don't I? 13. He says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. And then in verse 24, and there it says, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, to revere the Lord. There are times, three times in this passage of Scripture, that Moses has the children of Israel gathered around, and he's telling them how to fortify the family when they go over into the promised land, and how they can survive, and how they can experience the blessings of the Lord. Is he says, fear the Lord. Parents are to teach their children to fear the Lord. It doesn't mean that you teach your children to be frightened of the Lord, like electricity or strangers or those type of things. But the fear of the Lord is a continual awareness of the presence of a holy and just God, and that every thought, every word, and every deed is laid wide open, bare for him to see. Everything that you say, think, and do in life, you're responsible to him. That's what it means to revere the Lord, that he is God. He is in full control. I'm to live my life for him. That's what I'm supposed to do. How do you teach your children to fear the Lord? By the way you live. By the language that you use. By the places that you go or don't go. By the TV programs you watch. By the books that you read. We had better fear the Lord, not just for our sake, but for our children's sake. Because, in fact, look what he says in chapter 5 and verse 29. Notice what he says. He says here in verse 29, "Oh," this is God saying, talking. He says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always." Now that, does that sound, you know, as though God is on a power trip, you know, and he wants to be the with the thumb on everyone? He says, he cries out, he begs, he says, oh, that they would only fear me. Oh, that if there only there was a heart in them to reverence me. Oh, if they would only, why? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Not just with you, but with your children forever as well. What we do and do not do when it comes to reverencing God, to put him in that place in our lives, will not only affect our life and what God can give and do and bless in our lives, but it will have an effect on our children and their children and right on down the line. That's an awesome responsibility. Bringing children in this world is easy. Raising them up and teaching them the admonition of the Lord, that's something altogether different. But that's our responsibility. And dare I say, don't drop the baton. Pass it on. You've got to pass it on. You've got to keep running the race and pass that baton right on along. Influence your children to revere the Lord. How can you fortify the family? Instruct your children to reflect on the Lord. Look at verses 6 and 7 in our passage here in Deuteronomy 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Instruct your children to reflect on the Lord. God intends for the home to be the university of life, where the parents are the teachers, the children are the students, and the curriculum is the Word of God. Some reason, we've got it in our minds that, you know, they you can't take the Bible to school anymore, and so the prayer's out of school, and so we've let it slip out of the home as well. We don't do it in the homes anymore. We don't open the Bible up in the homes anymore either. Listen, because the next generation, we have got to teach. We have got to reflect upon the Lord, because the next generation decides how it's going to live. You take the Word of God out of the home, and then they get what they get at church. And that's all they get. And then the next one comes down the line, then they'll come to church ever so often. And then you get on down the line, they might watch it on TV ever so often. You see how it progresses? You see our responsibility? That's why God cries out, oh, where's the heart that fears me? Oh, the blessings that I just want to bestow upon them. Because the next generation decides how it's going to live. We need to teach our children diligently. Notice what he says there in verse 7. He says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." Diligently means to sharpen. To pierce is what it means. Literally says, "You shall sharpen your children," is what it says. This word is also the picture of an engraver at a monument. A lot of monuments in the news today, but he's got the hammer and the chisel. You got a slab of marble that's there, and it got a monument, and he begins to enchisel an inscription on the bottom of that thing, and he's pounding away and ever so careful to get the words just that he wants to put on there. Now, once he gets all of that on, it's hard work, but once the message is done, once the inscription is there, it is there to stay. The rain won't wash it off. You can spray paint over it, but it'll still be chiseled in there. It is still there. Whatever the message was that he put on there day after day, precept upon precept, line upon line, we're to be engraving the truth of who God is and what God's word says to the heart of our children. We are to be inscribing that day in and day out, chiseling that into their hearts, our children and our grandchildren as well. And we're to do it diligently, not just half-heartedly, not just doing it every so often, not just when we have a whim to do it, when we get spiritual, but every day, diligently, is what it says. Every opportunity, we're to teach them diligently, but also daily as well. Did you notice what he says in verse 7? And he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." You see, you're sitting there at the table, you know. Most of us will be sitting there at the table, and the TV's on. We're guilty of that. And so you're sitting there in the house, and there you are, and you look over, and you say, "You know, son, back when I was your age." So you can always start with that. And then you can lead it right into a story about Christ in your life. You see, and what Jesus has done in your life. And so what he says here, "When thou shalt talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." At breakfast time, at break time, at bedtime, we're always to be just relating the word of God to everyday life. I remember one time, Tom will get embarrassed, but he don't remember it anyway. And so I remember in West Virginia, we were there, and we went to McDonald's, and they got to, he and his brother, and were there, and it was a dad thing. And so he says, "Dad, I want the cone. It's a free ice cream cone with this meal that I got." And I said, "Well, go get it." And he said, "No, I'm not going up there, Dad." He was just a little tight. "No, Dad, I'm not going up there. You go get it." "No, I'm not going to get it. You want the ice cream cane? You go up and get it." And so kind of ever so he went up there, and he kind of stood way in the back, you know, and the line was moving up, and he didn't kind of go with them. And I says, and so I got him to go, and finally he got up there, and he got his ice cream cone, and he came back, and he sat down at the table, and I says, "Well, see, you got it, didn't you?" Big old smile on his face, you know. "You can eat the ice cream, you know." And I said, "You know what, son? I had my eye on you the whole time. Nothing was going to happen to you at all." And I said, "You know, that's the way God is in our life. Sometimes we do things that we're just a little bit fearful of, but he's always watching. He always knows." This is what he's talking about. This is what he's talking about. He's not talking about a sit down. You know, Brother Billy said that I've got to teach you. And so here we go. You got 30 minutes. And so here we go. Turn the page. Okay, now. No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about as you go about your day. It means we ought to talk about spiritual things, spiritual truths, like we talk about the weather, like we talk about the sports and anything else. God gives us endless opportunities to talk about him to those that he's entrusted in our care. But we're also to teach them deliberately as well. Verse 8, and he says, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between the eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." You notice what he's talking about here in verse 8? There's a little frontlet, and that's the little box that they have here, and a leather strap that goes around. They tie it in the back, and inside that little box there, the dad would put a scripture verse inside there. And so he would have it right there to meditate upon it. Take it out every so often. Yep, that's what it says. Put it back in. And it keeps on going. And it's always there. And then when the little child comes home, he comes to the door. And there on the doorpost, there's a scripture verse for that day. When he goes to leave the house the next morning, there's one on the inside as he's going out. And so there it is, always before them. This is what he's saying here, deliberately teaching the word of God. Your home is to be a lighthouse for God. A lighthouse for the truth of God's word as well. The word of God and the God of the word ought to saturate your living room, your dining room, your bedroom, your laundry room, your playroom. You know, hang up those plaques, hang up those things. You know, I've mentioned this before. You know, one of the first times that I've ever seen scripture was in my grandparents' house. And they had old coal fire, you know, and we'd sleep on the floor. And the embers, you could see 23rd Psalm right there. And I would look at that and read that. Read that again. And God used that to stir my heart at times. People should know when they walk into your home that Jesus lives there. That Jesus lives there. These are basically three lessons you need to teach in your home every day. Teach your children to find the will of God, to obey the word of God, and to walk in the work of God, or in the ways of God. Instruct your children to reflect on the Lord. And then finally, see, you thought I was going to keep on going. Invoke your children to remember the Lord. Invoke your children to remember the Lord. Look with me at verse 10. And it says, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, and thou diggest not vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Moses gives these parents two warnings before they arrive in Canaan, and they begin to experience and live in the blessings of the Lord. What are the dangers to avoid? First of all, there's a danger of forgetting God. There's a danger of forgetting God. Did you notice what he says? He says, when you get into the promised land and you get over there and you live in houses that you didn't build, you get over there and you begin to eat from the fields for which you did not plant. You get over there and you begin to experience all of these things that you had no hand in work in bringing about, but it was just there because I gave it to you. When a nation forgets God, it begins to ask the question, who is God? They forget that God provides all of our needs. That it's God. We become self-sufficient in life. Why do I need God? So he sees what we see here in verse 12. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought you out of bondage. How in the world could we ever forget God? Delivered us from the bondage of sin, slavery in our lives. How in the world can we ever forget that? We forget that when we begin to look at the gifts that God has provided rather than the giver. We want more gifts. We want more gifts than God. There's the danger of forgetting God and the danger of forsaking God as well. Verse 13, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." Before they ever went in, God says, be careful. Don't forget. Don't forsake. God knew exactly. And so he warned them. You know what they did? They forgot him and they forsook him. But God gave them the warning. God gives us warnings as well. When a nation forgets God, it begins to ask the question, who needs God? Who needs God? It's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. When they entered into the promised land where God planted them, protected them, and prospered them, they went through four stages of spiritual corruption. First, there was independence. Then there was indulgence. Then there was indifference. And then irreverence. Now, did what I just say cause you to think about our day? There's irreverence in our land today because we have forgotten God. We have forsaken God in this land. I believe we're living in the most irreverent times in our history. Nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing. We've gone after the gods of materialism, meism, intellectualism, humanism, secularism. What's the result? The building block of society, the family, is fractured, falling apart, and failing. Invoke your children to remember the Lord. What's the solution for our day? There's only one. Fortify the family. We have got to fortify the family. There's only one way to fortify the family, and that is to bring the family back to God. The president can't do it. The sheriff cannot do it. The preacher can't do it. Only moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas are the only ones that know Jesus Christ. They're the only ones who can do it. The greatest weapon that we have against sin, Satan, and sick, selfish society is a godly home. A godly home is what's needed in our land today. Will you make the commitment to fortify your family by faith in God, fellowship with His Son, and faithfulness to His Word? That is what's needed. I believe that is the greatest thing we can do for our churches, our communities, and our country. Fortified homes begin with fortified parents. What will you do with these five commands that Moses gave Israel many years ago? What are you going to do? Will they be a part of your life, a part of your home, that from now on, I will be the one who passes the baton? I will pass it on to my children. I will do all within my power to pass it on as never before in the times in which we live. Not a one of us know how much longer we have on this earth. Not a one of us. We don't know how long our children have on this earth. It's our responsibility to fortify the home. Stand with me. We'll have a word of invitation. We'll have a song of invitation. If you need to come, if you need to come forward today and say, Lord, my home is failing. My home is fractured. My home needs to be fortified. My home needs you more than ever before. Then you come and you respond, and the Lord will hear that prayer. Lord, I need wisdom in how to pass the baton. I need those opportunities. Lord, help me to prepare and to be ready for when you open those doors so that I can speak to the young ones in my life. You're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Then your life is not fortified. You'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell when you leave the walks of this life without knowing Jesus as your Savior. Don't leave these doors until you know for sure where you will spend eternity.